This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today we are joined by Victoria Turrigan. She is an expat living in the Philippines, has been doing so for 4.5 years, and has an interesting, very varied background in luxury goods and paintings. And as a bit of a segue to business, as a bit of an insight into Philippine consumerism, I have a chat to Victoria about the fine art market and the more affluent set of Manila and the Philippines. So it's a little bit different podcast today, but there's lots of great information in there, and hope you enjoy. If you want any of the notes or information about this, or want to know more about Victoria, then go to our show notes. You'll find this episode at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode 30. Okay, so I'm joined today by Victoria Turrigan. Hi, Victoria.
Hi.
And Victoria is an expat, as you might pick up from the accent. Been living in the Philippines for quite some years now. And you work between Manila and internationally. And this is where I'm a bit out of my depth, but you work within luxury good markets, specifically art and paintings. And I think it's interesting to chat to you and for listeners to get an insight into sort of broader markets of the Philippines and how things work. Now, you have, it's probably fair to say, some insight into the higher end of society in Europe and Southeast Asia and the Philippines now, where you're based, and also their buying habits. So I just want to get a sense from you, and you can explain this and introduce yourself, but been dealing in art and things like that, and it would be interesting to get an insight into the buying habits and preferences for Southeast Asia in regards to that. So I suppose we can start by, How did this come to be? How did you get into this, Victoria?
Into arts or into...
Yeah, into art. So I suppose, what is your background, and did you train in that? And then how did you find yourself trading in the Philippines?
Okay, my background, mainly it's in human resources, but my hobby was art for all my life, as I remember. And I finally graduated from Sotheby's Institute of Art so that I can be a certified specialist in art consultancy.
And you specialize in Eastern European art?
Yeah, in Russian art.
Right.
Yeah. But, okay, I was not from Sotheby's. I was not trained in terms of Russian art. Russian art, it's more my, like, preference. I'm more, let's say, like an art expert in history of art, in trends, in styles and everything. So, but I really, being a Russian person, okay, Ukrainian-Russian, but by Russian art, we always say in the world of the people who are related to art, Russian doesn't mean geographically Russian, you know. It's like under umbrella of Russian art, we mean Ukrainian art, Armenian art, Georgian art.
It's the whole empire.
The whole Russian empire art. Yes. So.
And what sort of, I mean, this is going down a bit of a rabbit hole, but what eras? Is it modern art, or is Russian generally classical?
When we say Russian art, we are talking about art up to 20th century, you know. Okay. Now it's really...
What's happened to Russian art since?
No, it's really separate now. But by saying Russian art, you mean exactly geographically Russian art.
Right.
Only people who are involved into art business, they realize when you say Russian art, it might mean that you cover all the Soviet Union former republics.
Mm.
Let's say it's not even republics, but mostly about Russian Empire, which included many places, you know. So,
and most people would assume it's like classical art.
Yes, so the modern stuff, classical art.
Is it the modern? Is Russia full of like Tracy Emmons and stuff doing messy bents, or is there still a classical element to Russian art?
No, it's still the Russian art. It's more like academic school, which means more impressionism, more like realistic art. There is, of course, conceptual art in Russia and modern art, but it's not that popular. You know, people are still like from old school, you know, they prefer to buy.
And is that classical. Still highly regarded, or is it a bit seen as passé? You know?
Sorry?
Is the, like a modern Russian impressionist, is that still highly regarded? Or is
it is. You know, it's of really high demand, and most of the painters, they know that, you know, it's like the offer, the demand gives birth to offer, you know. So the demand of Russian people is in classical art. That's why most of the painters are still working in the same style, like academic style, by improving it in terms of techniques, in terms of subject matter, something like that, trying to innovate something, but it's still classical art. It's not modern art. It's not avant-garde. It's not like surrealism or something. So it's basically classical academic art.
And then, so let's bridge to the Southeast Asia, not so much necessarily how you found yourself here, but how you've found integrating, I suppose, your passion and with art and the tastes and buying habits of Southeast Asians.
As I've mentioned, I worked only with Singapore, Hong Kong, and China, and now I have experience in the Philippines. Let's say it's a very specific market. It's completely different from European market, really very different. First of all, because art was developing in these countries in a different way, you know, it was different demand for art. And regarding Philippines, it's very much specific because here it's very different from Russia, from Ukraine, let's say from all those former Soviet Union countries. In the Philippines, the preferences for modern abstract art.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it depends on the lack of classic school. No, it's true, you know, the way students are taught at the, let's say, Academy of Art, all those.
It's about expression as opposed to,
you know, the people here, they more support some innovation, something new, something out of the box, you know, not something classical. That's why it's very narrow market. You know, it's very much Filipino, and it doesn't welcome the art from other countries. It's very closed market.
Right, okay.
I experienced it with the Russian art here, because I made some exhibitions here, I arranged some of the exhibitions. The first impression, people love it because it's something new and it's something classic, you know, that's what I say, the classic thing, it's like, it's eternity. It will be in fashion, in trend today, in 50 years, in 100 years.
Mm.
But people are very careful and not really willing to get something new here. You know, though it's not new, it's classical for centuries, you know. I think their perception is more like those pieces should hang in the museums than in their house.
Right.
They try to support the local art a lot, which is very good, really very good. Most of the Filipino collectors, they own pieces only of the Filipino artists.
Yeah. Is that like a seen more as a patronage of the arts as opposed to an appreciation of the arts?
I think yes, you know, it's some kind of, you know, trying to support their own culture. And it's kind of the feeling that most of friends, Filipino friends I have, let's say if one of them owns the painting by some famous Filipino artist, the other ones have to get that as well, you know, because it's like you need to have it in your collection.
So they need a piece from each of the main names
so
within them.
If you say that you're an art collector here, there are like certain artists which works you have to have in your collection. You know, it's not even that you like it. You know, you need to have it, but it's...
Which I think can happen to a lot of affluent art collectors anyway.
Yeah, everywhere. It's everywhere like that. You know, many people just buy because of the name, you know, not because of the painting itself. Yeah. They don't care what is depicted in the painting. They just get it because it belonged to some family, or it was painted by very famous artists. That's it, you know, but not about the painting.
And the Philippines often gets accused of favoring foreign products and foreign brands far more than their own, which is quite common in most societies, like to have a European something or an American something is regarded far higher. But in art, you're saying it's complete reversal in that they really have zero awareness or interest.
No, it's not about zero awareness. There are certain, like I always say, the real art collectors who collect for the love of art, they don't really care what the names are. That's what I faced here when I was organizing exhibitions. The art collectors, the private ones, they try to get in touch with the art dealers on their own. They don't attend those exhibitions, anything, and they just buy what they like, and they don't care even who was the painter, like what kind of credentials the painter has. They really don't care. These are the real lovers of art, you know.
Wow.
The rest of people consider art more like investment.
Yeah. They still must consider the credentials, though, because that is part of art appreciation, isn't it?
Based on my own experience after organizing a couple of exhibitions in the Philippines, I can make some conclusions that people were asking, first of all, the background of the painters. And since I brought the very famous painters, not only among Russian art market, but the ones who are sold at Sotheby's, Christie's, at Saatchi Gallery in New York. So they are really high-end painters and worldwide famous. They have their works represented in many art galleries in Europe, at many art auctions. So that was very appealing for the local people. They were very interested, but still they were not taking it as a piece of art. They needed to have a proof why the price of the painting is like this. Right. Does the artist have enough credentials, you know, to pay that much money? Right. So it's kind of contradicting, you know. And if it's Filipino artist, they just buy it because it's a famous one. They don't really question the price. But if it's something new, they want a lot of justification why they need to pay that much for the painting. And you need to provide them with lots of information, you know, how popular the painter is.
Is it similar price points? Like what are the elite Filipino artist pieces trading for?
If we talk about, let's say, their very famous current living painter, Benkop, you know, the prices of Benkop are amazing. You know, they are highly amazing. Like, let's say they start from the small painting. It starts from a couple of hundred thousands and going up to several millions pesos. We're talking about pesos. With Russian art, with modern art, if we are talking about the classical art, which is of 20th century, of course, we are talking about very high prices, you know. But with the modern art, it's much lower than the local artist. The price is much lower.
Right.
Yes, it's much lower. Okay. Let's say if you are famous in the Philippines, you start your price range from 300,000, 400,000 pesos and going up.
Right.
With Russian art, it's probably up to 500, 600 pesos. It's the highest price.
Right.
It starts like from 150 and going up to 600 max.
Yeah. So they'd have a few token foreign pieces, but they wouldn't invest heavily. Yeah. That kind of makes me quite proud of supporting the Philippines.
Yeah, no. The in these terms, I wish every country was like that, you know, supporting their own art. European art and basically Russian art. Russian people at this point, they really prefer something European, something from abroad, you know, to have in their collection than to own their own painters, works of their own painters. In the Philippines, they are very, very, very much conservative in these terms. You know, they really support their local artists.
I went to the art fair recently in March, I think, in Manila. Yeah. And it's actually quite impressive. Huh?
I have not been this year, but I have been the previous years. You know, it's quite impressive, really. It's very different.
Yeah. And I suppose just quickly in wrap up then, can you compare the buying habits of Filipinos or is there a discernible difference that you notice between Filipinos and maybe Hong Kong and Singaporeans? Completely different, very similar?
No, I would say it has, of course, similarities, but there are a lot of differences as well. With China, I think it's a matter of trend as well. You know, with China and Hong Kong, it's quite popular for the last like 4 or 5 years. Russian art became very popular. And I know I have my own opinion about the reason of that. People really like impressionist art. And let's say to own the real impressionists, like French impressionists, you know, painters, it costs a lot of money. And many people, even if they're rich, they cannot still afford to get Monet, Renoir, you know. So, but along with those painters in Sotheby's, Christie's, Saatchi Gallery, in other galleries, they have the same impression art in the same style, in the same trend, but modern impressionist artists. And they're Russians, mostly. So it's kind of... I don't know, cheating yourself, you know, you buy a piece which looks like Monet, but it's not Monet.
But you still
own something like Lily Pond or looking very similar to Monet.
Right.
And it's, like I said, it's classics.
That's a complexity of art, though, isn't it? Because you could get a photocopy of a Monet and...
Yeah, that is a photocopy, but that's, oil on canvas, which you can see the brush strokes, you know, and most of the modern
artists... From the same period or modern?
No, really more. No. They are not recreations.
Yeah.
They're own works, but they are written, they are created in the way, in the impressionist style.
Right. Okay.
Of course, the impressionist school was basically, you know, the roots are from France.
Mm-hmm.
And the school, the manner of painting, the, you know, techniques, everything, they still follow. They try to introduce some innovations in the way they create their masterpieces, but they're very similar in general.
Interesting. Okay. Because the Impressionists actually started off as rebels, didn't they?
They were not accepted by the society.
But now, as often the case, they're then becoming the... their process is becoming very regulated and protected.
Yeah. It's the irony. Something very classical will always be classical, you know. And I think impressionist art is the most classical of all the styles.
But it started off as the rebel of the...
Now it's not, you know. No. It used to be, it was like kind of, as I said, it was not accepted by the society at all in France. You know, when they made the first impressionist exhibition, it was rejected by society, actually.
Interesting.
But now it's worldwide, you know, accepted as a common classic style of art.
Right. And then I suppose, so just coming back to that question, the Filipinos and their buying habits compared to the rest of Southeast Asia, a little bit similar, a little bit different.
It's a little bit similar, but as I say, like Hong Kong, China, it's more about the trend that they love Russian art at this point, so they invest into Russian art. With the Philippines, since the country is not really aware about Russian art, you know, I think they are more closed market, and they are more into being located in Asia. They are more into Asian art, like Chinese art, you know, Indonesian art.
And in regards to that, do you see the elite of the Philippines hanging out with the elite of Singapore and Hong Kong and China? Is there a community, or is it they're still quite separate cultures?
It's very interesting. In Singapore or in Hong Kong, Filipino people are hanging out with the Filipino people living in those countries.
Yeah.
So it's really quite close society.
Yeah. There's a very strong culture.
Yes. And it's quite rare what I heard from many expats who live here, that the elite of Philippines doesn't really accept expats in their circle. You know, it's not that they have something against or something, because they are very traditional and conservative. You know, they prefer to hang out with their own crowd.
Mm.
And even in the countries, it's very strange, because I have a lot of friends. And let's say I go to Switzerland. And when I go to Switzerland, I'm introduced to the Filipino friends of my friends, you know, and they hang out only with the Filipino people living in Switzerland. The same with Hong Kong. I go to Hong Kong, most of the people I hang out there, besides work, they're all Filipinos because I have Filipino friends, you know.
They're very proud, tight community.
Yes, yes, they are, you know. They always keep together, you know, and they do support each other a lot.
Great. Thank you, Victoria. Okay, hope you enjoyed that with Victoria, exploring a different side of Manila and Philippines. If you want any information, if you want to get in touch with Victoria, go to the show notes. They are found at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode30. See you next time.